want to try something a little different? Well then, how about listening to Asian music? Now, I don't mean it like
Oppan Gangnam Style.
Nor like
She bangs, she bangs. Oh baby, but she moves, she moves.
I'm talking about a little more like and a little more like and also a little more like and definitely something like so tune in to Asian Wave 101, playing you the best of Chinese and Korean pop, Wednesdays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. only on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Jay Arner, Energy Slime featuring Jay Arner, DJ Duncan McHugh spinning some Jay Arner, and a bunch of other bands that Jay Arner may or may not have anything to do with.
Finally, we elf folk are free of elven labor and the frozen pale of winter dawn. This has been an amazing elfcation with Discorder Magazine, featuring Victoria's Pretty Good, Not Bad Festival, Fountains Reunion in France, Montreal-based Arbutus Records, and Jay Arner, our king!
Red wine every day.
All this and more in Discorder, available around town at cafes, venues, record stores, and online at discorder.ca. Special thanks to this month's advertisers, Vinyl Records, The Rickshaw, Sitcar, The Astoria, Bomber Brewing, Don't Argue Pizza, Levitation Fest and Tambor, Live Van, Mint Records, Pressing Matters, and The Rio Theater. Discorder, get yours now!
Hempology 101 is a student-run organization here to educate the public about the benefits of hemp and cannabis. Fast fact! Hemp is a renewable, sustainable source of food and fiber. Fast fact! Your body contains anandamide, which is part of the same family of substances as THC. To learn more, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/Hempology101UBC or come to one of our great events. And don't forget, legalization through education.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is, as always, the White Noise Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy, and then following that will be the White Noise After Show, this week hosted by myself and joined by special friend Connor Neckleput, who manages to join me now, sir. How are you doing?
No, I'm doing well. I had a nice curry this evening.
Lovely, lovely. Good for you, sir. Was it any special occasion, or was it just curry night?
Because you hadn't had a curry in a while.
Connor now lives with his girlfriend, who's living the
American dream?
Canadian dream? Is that the American dream, is it? To cohabitate with somebody.
Cuddles are very nice.
Well, yeah.
To cohabitate.
You do have a very nice place. I was impressed when I went over. He managed to get some rather...
Swanky, yeah.
It's rather swanky basement for a basement suite.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know? I mean, it's not high rise, but I'm looking at dirt, but yeah.
There's very little mold. I was quite impressed.
Yeah, no, it's actually very well insulated.
Yeah, so we can all just
but anyway, not about
sit
my
there
house
and think about how jammy Connor is.
How your digs.
The same ones I've been in for a year and a half.
They did have mould in them, didn't they?
Only in the ceiling. I mean...
Okay, so yeah, not next to the bed or anything.
Yeah, no, it was the bathroom. It's typically a mouldy place. But anyway, yeah, let's not talk about that scary thought. There's a lot of silverfish in there as well. So we'll be on the after show later on, where we're going to be discussing a few different topics, including the usage of the Angry Birds movie as a sort of
anomaly,
as an analogy for the rights of white supremacists. That's an interesting topic coming up, and we've got some other things. Of course, lots been going on in the world at the moment, so we've lots to talk about, and we got some kick-ass music, lots of new stuff from Lionhead, Tawanda, Pup, No Sinner, Multi Grub, Jayana. I mean, there's just lots of cool stuff on there, so stay tuned for that. But first, without further ado, I think it's time for some white noise.
Warning.
How do you know
the
I was going to say
that? Following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's episode is brought to you in part by classic literature, because there's nothing sexy about quoting BuzzFeed. First up tonight, someone's buying a gun.
Hi there. I'm looking for something for my wife.
As a gift? Or to kill her?
A gift.
Oh, really? Well, you're a braver man than me. But let me recommend the Glock. It's simple, nice weight, and look, it even fits nicely in my purse.
Ooh, is that Coach?
Why would you have anything else?
Well, I think it's a bit heavy for her.
No, these bags are really lightweight. So many pockets.
No, the Glock.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, how about a Beretta Nano? This one was designed for shooting muggers.
I don't really like the color.
It's a gun, not a hatchback.
I know, but I also know she's gonna make me return it. I'll just have to bring her in and let her try them all on.
Fine, as long as it ain't her time in a month.
What? How dare you say that, sir?
Hey, there's a lot of guys I don't let in here any time in a month.
I don't think women should be allowed to own a gun, because nobody needs a fucking gun. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back.
Oh, no, no.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, no. Gail left me.
Mum left you?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Thank Christ for that!
How can you say that? I loved your mother! Oh, yeah, I loved her every single night.
I know! I sleep in the same bed. I heard you loving her every time I was trying to sleep!
She was the best I've ever had!
Oh, I should never have given her that Kama Sutra book. She's gonna get a card next Mother's Day.
I was gonna be the best stepdad you ever had.
Neil, you feed me dog food and force me to commit crimes with you.
Still better than your first dad.
Well, yeah, that's because he used to make me eat vegetables.
Well, it's just me and you now, Carl.
So, are we going to have sex?
No, but we are nearly out of pedigree chum, so we better go nick something.
Well, how about a nice bit of egg and chips or a bacon sandwich?
Nah, we have to get our hands on some cheddar. Oh,
you know I prefer brie.
Cash, Carl. I mean cash.
Oh, is that a Dutch cheese? I still don't get it.
It's simple. We steal the ATM, break it open at home, take the cash, and be able to buy enough food to cater Crofts. I might even switch us to wet food.
Oh, brilliant. I got to Instagram this.
What are you doing?
I'm taking a selfie-shee.
It's called a selfie, and don't you do it, you stupid idiot. I don't want any evidence on the flipping internet.
Well, that's just fine, because I don't actually have any internet. I just post them on my wall, in my room.
You've got to stop calling the hall closet your room.
Well, you keep locking me in it.
Well, you're always in the way. I was just tidying up.
Oh, so how are we going to move this thing? Ain't it heavy?
Nah, this is one of them new, you know, super lightweight ones. Come on, together now. On three. One, two, 3.
Oh,
shit.
My arms! I think I dislocated my shoulder!
Oh, yeah, I see the problem. You see, this is one of those ones that screwed to the floor. Ah, shit. Sorry, mate. It's all right, I brought a spanner.
I thought you were just pleased to see me.
Well, I do also have an erection, but that's nothing to do with you. I just miss your mum. Keep a lookout.
For what?
Coppers.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to tell you if I see one?
Yes.
Okay. What if I see four of them?
Then definitely yes.
Okay, good. Because there's like four of them coming towards us now.
What? Oh, shit.
No, no, wait. No, that's a lie.
Oh, thank
that's
God.
A lie.
Thank God.
There's five of them.
Oh, shit.
Freeze. Put down the weapon.
It's a spanner.
I'm not a spanner. I'm actually quite clever.
Drop it or I'm going to taser you.
I'm dropping it. I'm dropping it.
Get on the ground.
All right.
But it's all dirty!
Get down!
But my mum said she'd kill me if I got my trousers dirty!
I'm gonna ask you one more time, get down!
But what do you mean, like, to dance? Is that sort of get down? I think I just wet myself. No way. That's definitely poo.
I've been wanting to do that for ages. I never wished to be tasered, but I let the right person spank me. Next up tonight, someone is moving.
Mum, Dad, I have something to say.
If it's about how the vacuum really got broke, it's okay. We worked it out.
No. Please. I've made a big life decision. I've decided to move back in with you guys.
I don't think so.
What?
You left. No take backs.
Oh, come on. I'm broke.
Yeah. You earn more than I do.
Yeah, but drinking every night is expensive.
Honey, maybe you just need to find somewhere cheaper to live.
I have. Here.
Over my dead body?
I've been waiting for that, but you had to go and start eating healthy and exercising, you old evil git.
Ken, how can you say that?
By opening my mouth and closing it again. That's how.
You are not mooching off us. You can forget it.
But you're not even using the spare room.
I am. That's where I keep my collections.
Oh, for the last time, Dad. Beanie Babies are never going to be worth money ever again.
The Tamagotchis will. You just wait and see.
I'll pay rent.
How much?
400.
400. That's actually not bad. 400 a month.
I mean, per year.
Oh, get out. No chance.
But would you rather see your own son homeless?
Even the homeless would think you drink too much.
Of course we wouldn't, honey, but we'd get over it.
Fine, then. I'll go see if Grandma's got any room. At least she knows how to drink properly, especially since Grandpa died.
I left home very early because I was put up for adoption. That was a shit 13th birthday. Next up tonight is a radio interview.
Good evening, I'm Harold Heisenberg, and this is the world's leading science show, Ruining Religion. And tonight I'm joined by the last man to look cool in a turtleneck. It's Carl Sagan.
Good evening, Heisenberg.
Welcome, Mr. Sagan. I'm a huge fan. I've read everything you've written, even the really dull stuff. So my first question is, what's next for the great icon of pop culture?
Well, I may be well known for my numerous contributions to the world of science, but I am here today to talk about another cause dear to my heart, my new 5-part workout series, Calisthenics with Carl.
What?
Like many greats before me, such as Cher, Kim Kardashian, Jane Fonda, and Carmen Electra, I have utilized my love for science to create the world's most effective workout routine to sculpt those love handles into godlike abdominals. I can turn fat into wanting to hit that.
So, this routine is backed by science?
That's correct. It's CSA-backed. That's Carl Sagan-approved.
So, no then.
My mom says I look great.
I really don't know if we can advocate this product on this show.
Why not? I mean, last week you endorsed the Neil deGrasse Tyson Dyson.
Well, of course. It turns household dust into dark matter. That thing's amazing.
Have you not felt my pecs? Come on, go on, have a feel.
Oh, that does feel nice.
They're harder than Stephen Hawkinson's pop quizzes.
Maybe this video might be worth it.
With 5 easy bi-weekly payments of $99.99, the only thing simpler is the plot to an episode of The Big Bang Theory.
You're just jealous you didn't think of Bazinga.
I just want to know, where's my penny? I'd even take an Amy Farrah Fowler.
Wouldn't we all? Well, that's all we have time for this week. Join us next week when we are joined by special guest David Suzuki, who will be showing us the proper way to grow excellent marijuana.
I've never dated a penny, but I've dated a lot of pounds. Next up tonight, a couple are in bed.
Honey, what are you doing?
Pardon?
Were you spinning the solo decks?
What?
Were you doing the Morse code on the down low? Were you masturbating?
Oh, yeah, of course I was.
But that's our thing. You're meant to wait for me.
Well, then I'd be waiting forever.
Look, I'm not that much of an infrequent flyer.
Yes, but you take shorter trips than a hippie with weak acid.
It's not my fault. God made me this way.
You can't blame God for everything. You're not the Deep South. And who said your body has defined the beginning and end of our sexual experiences?
Well, that's what happens in the movies.
Which movies?
The porn movies.
Oh, well, they aren't real.
Well, the ones I watch look pretty real to me. Maybe you've been watching some hentai stuff.
Forget it. You obviously don't get it.
Why are you getting mad at me? You're the one turning our bed into a den of sin.
And what does the Bible say about that thing you like me to do with my finger in yours?
That's a rather recent invention, so I think it gets a bit of a pass in the holy texts.
You're not as original as you think, but whatever.
Look, how about you don't do that? I will promise to try harder next time.
Well, how about you go fuck yourself?
But that's the whole point of this bloody fucking argument!
Relationships are complicated. That's why I'm single. That and the fact my dating profile does not have any cats in it. Next up tonight, Elvis and Dolly are back.
Good evening, Elvis and Dolly. Welcome back.
Good to be here. I was sick of lying on the beach. Greenpeace kept trying to roll me back into the water.
I feel ya. I got stopped getting off the plane on my vacation because they thought I'd stolen and inflated a safety vest.
Well, I'm glad you both made it back unscathed.
Unscathed? I got such a gorgeous tan, Trump petitioned to have me kicked out of America.
I'm sorry to hear that, but anyway, your mission today is quite simple. We need you to go to France, where they are currently hosting the European Soccer Championships, and protect the England Wags.
Wags?
Wives and girlfriends of the players.
Oh, hell yeah.
It is paramount that you do not upset any of them whilst you're there, Elvis.
I have no intention of upsetting anybody. I just want to have sex with them.
Same difference.
Just keep them safe, please. There has already been enough hooliganism and violence that is deplorable, and that's just from the players.
Not far to their hotel now.
You ever dated a sports star?
I did once sleep with a Chicago Bull.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
Okay, it was all of them, but they were just so handsome. Well, I think. They were a bit too tall to tell. How about you?
I had my fair share of female athletes, or as we used to call them, witches.
Any I might have heard of?
Ever heard of Maria Sharapova?
Of course!
Yeah, I porked her mom.
Oh.
Oh, here we are. The Ritz Hotel. Don't they make crackers?
Companies can do two things.
Yeah, but not well. Look at my movies. Or your movies, for that matter.
Hey, Rhinestone Cowboy got a respectable 3.7 out of 10 on IMDb.
So, we just have to make sure nobody messes with these chicks?
That's the general idea.
Are they actually in danger?
No, otherwise they wouldn't have sent us.
Yeah. So why did we bring all this C4?
Well, have you seen the Russian fans? They are definitely packing some C4.
Oh, hey, what's all that smoke coming from over there?
Oh, don't worry about it. That's just tear gas. It's how the French close down bars at the end of the night. Let's go inside.
Bonjour, comment puis-je vous aider?
What the hell did you say?
Ah, American. How may I help you, sir?
Speak English, goddammit.
I am speaking English, sir.
Seriously? Does nobody here speak English?
Excuse my moronic colleague. We are looking for the English wags. Where are they being kept?
They are currently being held in our spa treatment area, having facials.
I thought the players weren't allowed near them during the tournament.
Not that kind of facial. This is not Holland.
Oh, you mean like mud?
Well, it is a little more technical than that. It is a mixture of nutrient-rich plants, endangered animal fats, and sperm, well, sperm?
I gotta get me one of those. Hey, ladies. My name's Dolly Parton, and this is my colleague, Elvis Presley.
Hey, pretty mamas.
What are you lot gonna do about this bloody ride outside? It's flipping mental. Bunch of munters doing their nut and causing a right ruckus. We ain't used to this sort of palaver. Know what I mean?
Does nobody speak English in this goddamn country?
Shut up, you wanker. Do you know who I am?
No, nobody outside of England has a fucking clue who you are.
You want some, do ya?
What?
Come on, Zen. I'll batter you.
I'm scared, Dolly. She's so angry and orange.
Calm down, honey. We're here to protect you.
We don't need your sloppy tits help.
Oh, now you've done it. Why don't we have a little word outside?
Fine.
Oh, crap, Dolly. She's got a knife.
Then it's a good job I brought some good old American C4.
Oh, bollocks.
Weren't we meant to protect them?
They can reform her. She was already mainly made of plastic.
Yes, that did just happen, and you kinda liked it. Next up tonight, we return to my childhood, and an excerpt from the adaptation of my autobiography, Blackmore, Bellends, Bird Poo and Bail Money. Today, we're going to the seaside. Are we nearly there yet?
Be patient, for goodness sake. Skegness isn't much further.
Skegness? Oh, I thought we were going to Loch Ness.
Don't worry, they're equally shit.
Oh, I wanted to see a monster.
Wait to see the bloke who runs the caravan park.
There isn't going to be anyone for me to play with.
We can play cards, go for walks, braid each other's hair.
Oh, just kill me now, please.
Oh, Richard, you sound just like your father.
I don't know if he isn't here.
He had to go on a business trip again to Thailand.
That man does a surprising amount of business trips to Thailand for someone who is unemployed.
Well, he always comes back in a better mood, so I'm not complaining.
Oh, we're nearly there yet.
Oh, for goodness sake. Oh, actually, we're here. See, there's a seaside.
Where?
Beyond those piles of rubbish.
Can we just go home? I don't like it.
No, I booked 4 nights in a lovely bed and breakfast. We are staying.
What about dinner?
I'm not made of money.
Oh, forget it. I'm going to walk home.
It's 150 miles, you nitwit.
I'll jog. Yeah, so, I see a light out of the tunnel. Oh, Jesus.
Now will you stay?
Fine, but I'm refusing to braid your leg hair. I now look fondly back on those holidays with my mum because I can't remember them very well. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Caitlin Docking, Sierra Wiley, and Simon Welton.
There you go. That was the White Noise Show. I hope you enjoyed that bit of comedy. How was it for you, Connor? not even paying attention.
Absolutely scintillating. One of the best episodes you've written to date.
Oh, you're so sincere. You're just... Oh.
No one has ever accused me of being insincere.
Well, anyway, yeah, so I enjoyed it at least. I mean,
it was a good one. No, it was really quite good.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't said that. I can never tell by the time we actually air it.
It was a lot less mediocre than usual.
All right. Well, there you go. That was The White Noise Show. We'll be back next week with another half hour of sketch comedy.
Bye.
But we are going to continue forward now with... just disappointed we're not done yet. We're gonna continue forward with some kick-ass music and, of course, a bit of chit-chat. We've got some good topics this week, so stay tuned. But we're going to give you a chance now to go to the washroom and comb your hair, brush your teeth, I don't know, whatever you fancy doing at 11:25 at night. So first... Here is a bit of Pup.
Kill you, then I will. I hate your guts and it makes me ill. Seeing your face every morning. One more month and 22 days. If this tour doesn't kill you, I may. I'm counting down the miles till we leave the state. I'm counting down the minutes till I can't erase. Every memory of you. For a second, let's be honest. Nothing will clean your filthy conscience. Everything you do makes me wanna vomit. And if this tour doesn't kill you, buddy, I'm on.
rest assured that it never occurred to me. Armed in the tender age, your poetry fucked with me. If you can't climb trees, then you can't feed the birds. It was never the melody and always the words. How could you do that to me?
All right, that was Tawanda with Hedonism off Plaything. And before that, we heard Adrian Teacher and the Subs with Victory Square, and that was off Terminal City. And before that, of course, starting off the show was Pup with If This Tour Doesn't Kill You, I Will. And that was The Dream Is Over. So yeah, there we go. That's the kind of quality of music we hope to continue throughout the show. It isn't all going to be exactly in that vein, though. We are going to move over into electronica, and a bit of maybe some folk, all sorts, as we usually do. So stay tuned for that.
You have to wonder why.
I think it's called having... It's good to have variety in what you listen to. There are some people who only listen to one particular genre, and there's just so much out there that you can enjoy.
Simon, you don't need to be defensive, man.
I'm just explaining the rationale. That's all right.
Well, you chose four heavy sort of rock songs, and then like one electronica, one indie.
Well, we're going to go in and out. You know, I mean, I usually try to pick stuff on its individual merit, regardless of genre.
Oh, absolutely. We happen to come across a couple like nice sort of heavy rock kind of stuff today.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
Instead of building a theme around, instead of building identity around that for this single show,
he decided to go. It's like, fuck that. Like, it's this, it's some sort of weird concession and compromise between trying to mix all these different genres. When why do we even need that?
Because life isn't black and white. Life is full of gray, and therefore our show shows the eclectic reality of
life. Like, you're right, but that's a total misuse of that line of thinking.
I'd have pulled it straight out of my backside as well.
Yeah, no, I saw you out in the reach.
All right, so our first topic tonight is concerning the recent successful movie. I guess it was successful, wasn't it? The Angry Birds movie?
I never watched it, so it must have been pretty
good. I think, because it's a big phenomenon, I'm sure it did. So anyway, what's interesting about it is that several groups of white supremacists have been championing the film and asking parents to take their children to watch it because they believe that the Angry Birds film reflects their beliefs, as it is an analogy for an invading immigrant class of pigs who are taking up the area and eating the Angry Birds food.
Formerly occupied by the red birds, so the yellow birds, the blue birds, the black birds.
So then the birds go all together and they push out the pigs, and this is exactly, according to white supremacists, what they believe. So, Connor, what do you think?
You gotta wonder, what is the dividing line between different white supremacist groups?
I guess there's probably chapters, it's like
some of them a bit more socialist, some of them a bit more sort of economic liberals.
It could be true. But
why are they all ganged up to go, this is our holy text, this is our Bible?
I mean clearly, obviously, this is kind of sad and it's pathetic that they've adopted such a simple story is all
they need
to explain their views, that there's so little nuance to what they understand and believe about what is right that they can explain it using a children's film. We could talk about that. But what I think is more interesting is to talk about how a lot of films, you can read into them. And the same with books. You can read into them.
You can read into books, can you?
Whatever you want, really, to reflect your ideas. Because this is done with religious texts by different groups within religions. It's done even in our more sort of scholarly things, books of philosophy, things like Nietzsche and Machiavelli can be read.
Machiavelli.
Can be read many different ways. It's funny you say that, because I got my brother nearly punched me because I was correcting him on how to say Jean-Paul Sartre, because he said Jean-Paul Sartre, and I'm like, no, he's French, and he got really mad. But anyway,
so the fact that you can't pronounce Italian but you can pronounce French, that's worrying.
Well, we don't talk about
Machiavelli, Niccolo Machiavelli,
as much, so perhaps that's why I don't have quite as much practice at pronouncing it. But I've read his books, and
well, you didn't pronounce it wrong; you just missed the letter. He totally spelled your name wrong in his head. What a homage.
You've seen my scripts and my spelling. Why are you surprised at this?
Well, because you can go Jean-Paul Sartre.
Yeah, quite. but my point is that you can read into the prints a lot of different ways. And I think in a way, when you're not trying to see, if you're looking at it very objectively, it's actually not, the book doesn't really tell you to do anything. It just explains that you could do this and this might happen, or you could do this and this might happen. But it doesn't actually say which way you should do things. It's actually, that's, that you have to want to read that into it.
Better to be feared than loved.
And it's the same with Plato's Republic. You can read into that a bunch of different ways. And my point is that, there's so many things that you can just, manipulate to suit your agenda, when that's never the author's intention.
Do you think people do that with our show?
Well, I'm sure there are jokes that people take as funny for the wrong reason. I see that with a lot of comics like Doug Stanhope, where you get those that are there because they like the more profound sort of intellectual things he says, and then you get people there who, to put it politely, are the shit munchers and are there just for the misogynistic and the sort of vulgar side of his humor, and don't really appreciate any of the nuance of what he's saying. When he's trying to be a little bit more clever and what he's really saying, because even when he's being vulgar, he might be making a much cleverer point than that. And so that's, so that would be a similar situation.
So since everything, especially including literature and art and sort of works of thought, since everything is essentially down to perception, because obviously you can, as you just said, you can read, depending on your ideology and your mindset and your mood of the day, you can read into something in a very different way than someone else can. Where do we go with that? Because obviously you can't put sort of
rights and wrongs on different interpretations and different perspectives. So you're right, you can definitely get intention that was not met from the author's perspective to that of the audience or certain audience members or certain disciples. But how is that the only measure that we can realistically, objectively sort of say has been taken out of hand?
Well, I think...
maybe the Angry Birds people are racist.
It could be possible. But I think that you have to, you know, if you want to know the truth, you either have to research the piece, research who wrote it and what their intentions were in a third-party source, or you look to sort of informed sources and, you know, perhaps there are sort of like even, you know, I hate to say the word, but like the critics might even be a good place to start, and that someone whose expert job is to interpret and understand different works of art in whatever medium it may be, they would be hopefully a good place to start. At least then you could hear a few different interpretations, hopefully, and then make an informed decision on what you think is the most rational. But yeah, older pieces, there are stuff that you will never know. I mean, especially, you know, when I mentioned reference something like Plato, like, yeah, we'll never know what he really was on about in the Republic. Was he talking about starting a totalitarian state with forced like birth programs and forced milking of like basically wet nurses, like, you know, there was all sorts of like stuff in there that seems really dark and extreme. But I think that was his point, was that he just showed how impossible it would to create a civilization from top down that is a successful and healthy civilization, and that can only come from gaining a virtue within individuals. And if individuals become virtuous, then together as a collective, you will make good decisions and you will be a successful society. I think maybe that is the best interpretation, in my opinion, of it, because it goes against everything else he says in every other piece of work, if that's what he's saying in The Republic. And the fact that The Republic is full of little analogies makes me think that the whole thing is therefore most likely a large analogy. It just makes, you know, it makes sense to me that would be the case, and it just fits with everything else he does. Otherwise, yeah, it's a very strange book, but worth reading if you haven't read it. It's actually very fun, and it's enjoyable, I think, because you get to see that sort of the ancient Greeks have the same pettiness and foibles and characteristics as humans today, and you realize there's very little difference between 2,000 years ago and now, which of course makes a lot of sense, because
back in my generation,
there's not a lot of time for evolution of the brain in 2,000 years. We might eat a bit healthier now, or we might, you know, have more nutrition, but in reality, people's intelligence won't have evolved that much.
It's not even intelligence, it's just that human thought process hasn't altered.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's the same brains that we have now.
We're just thinking the same ways, because, yeah. I mean, all that we've ever thought of has come from some sort of like original sources. Nothing that we think is particularly original written necessarily.
Yeah.
The products we make might be. Just
technology is all that separates us.
Because, like, yeah, exactly. The ideas we get, we often legitimize them because they've been used before. That's how we get things into government, into law, because some higher powers before said this is a good idea and they got it through. But yeah, it's a funny thing. You're right.
Which actually kind of leads us on to our next topic, but we're gonna go which is sort of dogmatism, and because that could potentially be a problem of that, where you believe in what has been said before and you work on that foundation. And that actually does lead very nicely into what we're going to talk about after some more music. But let's go to the music first.
Just music.
And then we'll come back. So we're going to play next Jayana, and this is Crystal Ball.
Oh,
right, there you go. That was Lionhead with Lionhead of Brave Radar. Before that, Jay Arna with Crystal Ball off J2. It was a funky tune. I enjoyed that one.
Very funky, yeah.
All right, so our next topic tonight, leading back from where we left off. So we were talking about sort of dogmatism within governments. And, of course, that brings us round to gun control in America. And, of course, tragic events this week in Orlando. And twice, actually, because there was actually another tragic event on Friday when a girl who recently found success as a pop star through her YouTube, she became popular on YouTube and also being on The Voice, was shot dead on Friday while signing autographs at a meet and greet in front of her own brother, who then tackled the person and then he shot himself. And then, of course, there was the club where at least 50 people died. A gay club, and that man went there with the intention of killing people for being there. It was their only crime. So, you know, this isn't new. This isn't news. We've heard this many times before. And you have to wonder, why are we here? Why is it that every first world country besides America sees that guns aren't the answer? I mean, in 1994, I believe it was, Australia had a huge massacre. And they banned all rifles, all guns. Since then, they've had no massacres. Britain, guns are illegal. They've had 7 massacres since the 1800s. You know, America's had that, like, in the last week.
Fortunately, America seems to have one about once a year, really.
More than that. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the scale of 50 people, but anything over four killings or more is a massacre. And there is far more than that every week, sadly. Every year. So, you know, and how do we get here? Well, of course, there's this very strong opinion that the Bill of Rights and the Second Amendment, the Constitution, has to be protected. So the question is, does a 250-year-old piece of paper really have to dictate what we do today? I know that many people will agree that they were a very clever bunch of guys, the guys who the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution, and they did a good job of it. But, and you know, very highly influenced by the Locke and I think Spinoza and those sort of ideas. I think the biggest problem is that the weaponry that they were talking about in those days was not the weaponry that we're talking about today. They're talking about weapons that you couldn't commit these sort of massacres with, you know, muskets and very simple one-shot weapons. You know, it's a very different machine to what we're dealing with now, fully automatic weapons. You know, it's completely different. And not only that, but the reason that in part they wanted that sort of ground militia was A, because of fears of being invaded by Britain, but also the fact that the government didn't have a real army. They didn't have the resources and they didn't have the infrastructure set up to have a full-size army. So having an armed militia of local people was a rational thing, arguably. But that, again, was 250 years ago. So are we not, you know, surely we have to just start realizing that amendments, you know, that was an amendment. We can amend it again and change it. But I don't know. What are your thoughts, Connor? How do we get to that stage? How do we find any common ground, and how do we, you know, how do they move forward there?
It's a weird one because, I mean, it seems so simple. It seems like if there's a problem, and there seems to be, I mean, obviously mental health is a big issue now, I'd say. The United States is just one of the biggest populated, most popular countries in the world. That alone provides its own unique set of challenges that countries like England and Australia don't have to face because there's not as many people, which means not as many people have mental health issues. It's easier to regulate people because there's less of them. But it does seem like an easy fix. Yeah, just make it harder to get guns. Don't rely on the Second Amendment to protect people who wish to purchase them and wish to purchase rather deadly weapons, just like assault rifles and bits and pieces. But I find that there's even more to it than that, and that's the idea that the entire American Constitution is built on an idea of nationalism and national determinism. That the reason it was written was to say that American people, as we understand and as we are, and this 250 years ago, as for the reasons you've eloquently stated, we want to be able to own and possess guns for when we need them to fight off our government and to protect ourselves. But in itself, that was giving these privileges to American people who were at the time now breaking away from the country, that now, 250 years later,
have nothing to do with that original set of circumstances. And not only that, but America has expanded and taken over places and bought off land and incorporated so many people into its sphere of population that it no longer represents the views or the opinions of not only the people who existed 250 years ago, but a whole new set of people who either never wanted to be American in the idea that they had it, as they were conquered, indigenous peoples, never chose to be conquered. Lots of immigrants who came, maybe through refugee, maybe to escape the bad times and the famines in Ireland, who didn't really want to be American, but wanted to make a new life somewhere. So applying these principles of 18th century Americanism to this America that's expanded and grown and taken over territories and become a huge conglomerate of different nationalities and cultures means that those original tenets can no longer be held sacred because the people who make up America are no longer those people. They don't represent them ethnically, culturally. There are still some people, obviously, who would be Americans who have been here since the Founding Fathers, but that is a minority at this stage. So the ideas of those people don't represent the ideas of the modern American, is my issue with it. And the idea of having this kind of nationalistic text, it only really serves to differentiate people. I mean, nationalism in itself is an us and them divider. It's a very concrete, it unifies
yeah, it's tribal nonsense, really.
Yeah, it unifies small groups of people. And in the case of the United States, it's a fucking large group of people, but nonetheless. But it doesn't actually, it is effective in some ways, but as we've seen before, the world wars and stuff were fought over certain degrees of nationalism. It's not necessarily a healthy thing. So to protect them by claiming that it's an American right, an American institution, is only perpetuating those sorts of differences that divide and actually segregate and create more conflict between large bands of people and create war and create these terrible occurrences that we now see every day, every year, every week.
Yeah, I mean, the nationalism in America seems like such a head-scratcher because it seems like something that shouldn't work, really, in that it's such a melting pot of different countries. And it's still, you know, even today has a strong immigration policy in terms of lots of people do get let in, you know, legitimately and do go through the process. And so, it's such a diverse country that to have such a strong national sense of identity and pride seems counterintuitive, like, you know, because, you know, and you don't really see it as much in Canada, and that's partly to do with the newness and this sort of, like, you know, but to get it in a country
and just not being American,
but, you know, feeling like, because we do feel that, I think, the difference here between province and province and country to city, like, we're very aware of that, and we, you know, like, I think a lot of people in Vancouver feel like Vancouverites before they probably feel like Canadians, I you know, just because there's something more tangible in that. For them to do that in America, which has arguably even stronger diversity because you have, like, a lot more sort of different accents within regions and, like, you know, a stronger identity within small regions, which is partly why in Britain I think you don't have a stronger sort of national identity, is because there's a lot of regionalism. And
And also, England is not that great anymore.
But, you know, people have pride in their areas. So it's a fascinating that they've even managed to achieve this such a strong national identity.
Yeah.
When really there shouldn't be one.
The reason is, though, and a lot of people speak about inequality in the United States and across the world, but the reason is that enough people in the United States are doing well enough. It's the highest GDP, not the highest per capita, perhaps, but one of the highest GDP producers in the world, and per capita remains one of the highest in the world. It means people are doing well enough, which means in many ways they can't be bothered to fight anything that seems unimportant, sort of, in those ways. Like, there's no reason to challenge it. They're not losing out from it. Enough people aren't losing out from it, so therefore they're not going to challenge it.
Yeah, and that can be said of a lot of first world countries.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is, you know, yeah, complacency in comfort. Mm-hmm. That's inevitable. And I don't think it's a terrible thing in that, like, you know, that we shouldn't fight over every little thing. Like, you can't, you know, you have to pick your battles and use your energy effectively. Because, I mean, isn't that sort of something they talk about in sort of 1984 and a few of those other sort of books, the warning about, you know, the comfort of the
state?
Yeah,
no, it is. And, like, Fahrenheit 411 or whatever that book was.
I haven't read that one yet, but
It was a good one. I can't remember. I read it years ago, which is why I can't remember the name. But yeah, it touched on that. It touched on the whole idea. I think lots of those kind of utopian novels
as you just suggested, yeah, they do touch on the idea of that complacency.
Wall-E is a good example of that. All right, let's play another song. We got a couple more topics for you tonight, but next we're gonna play we'll play some Jesse Lanza, and this is VV Violence.
To your face, but it doesn't mean a thing. No.
Alright, there you go. That was Jesse Lanza with VV Violence off Oh No. Alright, so we're back in the studio on the White Noise After Show. My name is Simon Welton and I'm here with Connor Neckleput. And we're talking next about, as you may or may not know, the Liberals have passed, I believe, through at least the lower house already, a bill to amend the Canadian National Anthem. They wish to change the third line from "True Patriot Love in All Thy Sons Command" to the gender-neutral "True Patriot Love in All of Us Command," which, of course, makes a lot of sense, and there's no real debate to be had there. But what I find interesting is they haven't changed another line that perhaps should be changed. Connor, what do you think? Should they keep the
this
line?
This is the part where they say, oh, Canada, because that was one of my least favorite parts of the anthem.
Should they say, God keep our land glorious and free if we're a secular society?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because different people can have different interpretations of what that means. As a secular person, you think, so there's religious hangovers from a time where the people who led the country and formed the country were more religiously minded. But other people might find some kind of faith or strength in that, whether they're Christian or Jewish or Muslim or even
You have to be one of the monotheistic religions. You can't be, you know, if it's a polytheistic religion, then it should be gods keep our land.
Well, but that's a simplification because there are gods and polytheistic ones, but that doesn't mean there isn't a big main one as well.
True, I guess. The point is, it doesn't hold true for everybody.
No, but I mean, then again, if you were to secularize it, it's still you could kind of take that line of reasoning and take that to anything. Oh, I don't like that part of it.
Right, but
I don't work on a farm. I don't give a damn about crops or whatever.
Just simply change it to people keep our land glorious and free.
That works because it is just an empowerment of the person. Yeah.
It's not an advocation of the Canadian government individual.
That's fine. That's a fine change to make, and I don't think many people necessarily find much to criticize about that besides the fact that it's a change of any nature. I'm sure you could go through the entire anthem and do that. And is it that important? Maybe. I mean, obviously, everyone sings it at certain special occasions.
Well, especially
here. Does it
mean
that much? Yeah. Not really. I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing, though. Here, in a lot of countries, you only sing the national anthem at national sports events.
And Canada Day.
Yeah, and maybe the national day. But, you know, but here, when I was in high school, we sang it at assemblies. They sing it at sports games. They sing it at national sports games. Club sports games here. Like, you go to Whitecaps or Canucks, any of those guys, you sing in the national anthem and the American national anthem if it's against an American team. So it's not like they don't use it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it is something that's coming up time and time again in people's lives, so it should be a good reflection of the modern day society. That's, you know, if we're going to have one. I know we talked about how nationalism is kind of ludicrous, and it is fairly ludicrous. You know, it's there to make us, sort of keep on, you know, to help, you know,
to make people exclusive. Yeah,
yeah, it's a feeling of an in-group with a lot of people. Otherwise, you wouldn't have any similarities,
which just breeds societal effectiveness in that small cluster of people that have now been deemed the cool kids, the in-group, the particular chosen ones who believe in these certain ideologies.
And then it allows governments to then send bombs around the world because, you know, it's them, not us, so it's okay. They're, you know. But anyway, I'm glad you agree with that. So maybe if anyone has some spare time out there, start a petition now. We're changing God keep our land glorious and free to people keep our land glorious and free. Unless you've got a better suggestion.
Change our land. Whose land is it anyway?
Maybe like our land that we can't afford to buy a house on anymore.
Our land that we stole.
Yeah, and we're really sorry.
You know what I think? I think things would be made really easy if we just went the neutral path and took one of those classic sort of central European anthems, which are just a crazy classical music song with no lyrics.
Everyone likes to sing.
Okay,
song.
So we'll keep the O Canada parts, and then we'll just do the bombastic da-da-da, smash, smash, smash.
Or we write a new anthem.
We could do that. Like a dubstep song.
No, we don't.
Because you get the people jumping up and down.
Who's the best modern Canadian musician they could employ?
Dead Mouse.
Neil Young. Neil Young should write the new national
Dead
anthem.
Mouse.
Dead Mouse. No.
Not Drake. Dead Mouse.
Neil Young and Dead Mouse.
And Rush.
It together. It's like, this is a great national anthem, guys. Why is there a 10-minute drum solo in it?
There's a real slow build-up at the very at the beginning as well. Yeah. Although I do like the melodies.
I know I was looking up because I actually didn't know the British national anthem that well.
I don't know.
Because we don't sing it all the time. I actually know the Canadian one off by heart. So I looked up the lyrics to it and I found out there's like a fourth verse that they don't sing, which is all about killing Scottish people. See if I can.
That was a time and place kind of lyric.
Well, I guess it's still official. Yeah, see if I can
well,
look it up.
You know what?
The
Scots have their own parliament, so, you know, fuck them.
Yeah, it's not quite.
No, they're not quite the same, are they?
I think that's a simplification of what's going on there with a sort of several-tier government. But yeah, so the last one says, it goes, Lord Grant the Marshal Wade, may by thy mighty aid victory bring, may he sedition hush, and like a torrent rush, rebellious Scots to crush, God save the king.
So that was the war anthem.
Yeah, so that's sorry about that, Scottish people, as this is technically their national anthem, as
yeah.
they're part of the United
Kingdom. Well, of course
Kingdom.
They don't sing it, do they?
Yeah, I don't. But yeah, that's not really cool. Anyway, our last topic tonight, something light and fun. I don't know why I left this one to the last, but
you always end on a nice, light-hearted, fun.
So yeah, but it's not what it is.
Oh,
okay, sure. Obviously, there's been a lot of hooliganism, or whatever you want to call it, violence in France this week, between British fans, French fans, Russian fans, Polish fans, Irish fans. I'm sure some other ones that haven't been listed specifically. So is this, obviously, this is the fault of those committing hooliganism, but is there some blame to be led onto the French police? Because you haven't seen similar issues at other cups, but you did see it at World Cup 98. And like, you know, in Britain, they maybe just because of practice, but they're usually very good at controlling crowd control and preventing this sort of violence occurring.
Obviously, they had a bit of a history with it back in the 70s
well,
and 80s.
Say,
yeah.
Only through practice. You know, and like the use of horses is a big thing, apparently, because actually horses are terrifying. Like,
oh, they kind of are, yeah.
They're good for crowd control because they will, like, kick out. And, like,
yeah.
They are designed to be nasty, the horses they actually use. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it does feel like they've known this tournament's been coming for a long time. They knew with the proximity to Britain and to a lot of the, you know, major countries in the tournament, there was going to be a lot of traveling fans. And like one, the reason it kicked off the first night was because apparently the British fans were singing too loud, so they cut off all the beer. And surprise, surprise, then the British people got angry because you stopped serving beer.
Yeah,
and their initial crime was just singing. So it's like,
if you're gonna be, if you have the privilege of being French, don't try to pick on the English, because that's just gonna descend into stupidity.
Hey, they did a pretty good job in 1066. Give them their due. That was, you know, give me, you know, William
yeah,
the Conqueror.
And well, yeah, okay.
That worked out from that time.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know.
We were Angles and Saxons back then.
You know, I know it's not an easy thing to deal with, but I do think that if you're going to put in a bid in for a World Cup, that is part of...
It's not World Cup, but yeah,
oh,
sure.
Oh, so European Cup. Any major football tournament, that has got to be part of your plan.
I wonder how Qatar will handle it.
Well, I think they're...
I think it's too hot to have any organism.
Yeah, everyone will just be like, oh, just find some shade. I can't be arsed, man.
Jeez.
Or the British fans will just burn up to a crisp within 5 minutes and they'll just be in hospital with skin cancer by the second week.
Which is fine, because that's when the English football team will be sent home for being shit still. Yeah.
I mean, I think the French at the moment are probably just hoping that Russia and England get kicked out and then everything will go back to being calm.
Yeah. Yeah, the longer we've seen it, the more of a headache they've got.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but you have to say, like, there is a different mentality going on here, it would appear, between groups of fans, in that, like, the English fans turned up and they want to drink, they want to have a good time, and if it comes to it, some of them may have a scrap. But then they're talking about, like, a lot of Russian fans turn up, no intention of drinking. They're all, like, MMA and, like, kickboxing enthusiasts, brought, like, MMA gloves and knives and black and balaclavas, and are looking for a fight. Like, they're there to cause trouble.
Yeah.
And, like, and they're using weapons, which is, you know, obviously not in the unofficial rules of hooliganism. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you're gonna, you know, it's alright to... You know, because the idea is, if you can punch someone and if it's fair game and they're punching you back, then it's not, you know, they wouldn't see that as really being that unfair. But when someone brings a knife to a punch up, then yeah, that seems uncool.
Yellow card, sir. You're just
yeah, I mean, and in the stadium,
do that again, you'll be disqualified.
In the stadium, you saw after they equalized, There was like an explosion down their end, which was like, it sounded like the explosion that, yeah, that happened
that,
in November.
That terrified me. Yeah, I was like, whoa. Yeah, but then no one did anything. I was like, I guess it was okay.
Yeah, but that, that was eerie.
A flashbang or something, a flare. I don't get flares. What's the point?
Well, we have them on the march to the games for the Whitecaps, and we have blue and white smoke, and it kind of looks cool. I nearly got dripped on one time. That wasn't cool, but it adds a bit of atmosphere. I mean,
It just means that people can't see, especially in a stadium. It means people can't see the game.
Well, but we don't. We're not.
Yeah,
that's right.
I realize the Whitecaps don't light a flare.
But right. Like, in the game, it seems
I just don't.
Pointless.
Yeah, it's like your own team isn't going. Oh yeah, there's a flare. Let's go. Kick some balls
now
harder.
We're
yeah.
Score.
Like there's no point. And then also, like, how don't the people in the stadium, like, how don't they confiscate them?
Yeah, well, that's it, because you're like, if they could get flares and whatever that explosive was in, what else could people potentially take into that stadium? Like, where, if we're going to have security measures, then this is the sort of thing they're meant to be for. So it does raise a lot of questions. But yeah, at that equalizer, suddenly all these Russian fans charged across, and you can see it. There's this exodus across, and then the Brits all are trying to like climb over a fence just to get away from being socked. And it wasn't even like other English hooligans. It was like kids and their dads. And
my dad was at that game. So I even texted him afterwards, like, hey, is everything all right? And fortunately, he was fine. But
really?
Yeah, but I was like, geez. Like, yeah. Like, people who are paying to go to the Euros are probably middle class, and they're probably not usually hooligans in the stadium. Oh, well,
there's a mixture. I mean, that's the nice thing about it nowadays is that it is a real, you know, hodgepodge of different people. I mean, the thing as well is that if to get like tickets to those games and to be high up the list, you have to have attended a bunch of England away games. So you have to be a real fan and you have to really want to go. So I like that system. I think that is a fair system. You know, because like, I have a friend who does that, and he goes to like Azerbaijan for away games and all those tough things in the qualifiers just so he gets the good tickets now.
But they don't last very long because we're going to get to the quarterfinals and then lose. So.
Yeah,
so it's not like he gets any good tickets really anyway, unless he happened to fall into a successful group. But
oh dear, but yeah, so I just, you know, but you can see that in the repercussions, in that it was the Russian FA who were warned that like any more and they're kicked out, whereas the England ones weren't reprimanded because it wasn't in the stadium, it was in the streets. And you know, I mean, and what was good actually, there was apparently a lot of the worst England fans were kept from even entering the country. Because they're red flagged for hooliganism. And then
could you imagine that? You're walking up to the Eurostar or whatever, and the guy, the ball goes apart.
EasyJet, mate. They're English hooligans. EasyJet. They're not
and
on
a
Eurostar.
A bunch of like 6'5" guys come out, big muscly. Go, you're not going anywhere, mate.
No, it was probably some poor, like, you know, just this little person sitting there going, please, I'm sorry, sir, you can't come on the plane. Your name is got a scary letter next to it. And
apparently, you're a wanted criminal, and the French hate you.
And he'd probably just be like, you know what you did, mate. You were there.
But that's just what I'd say to everyone who gets on the plane. You know what you did. You know why you're running away.
Jesus. Okay, so I think that's about it. I think that's about our time. Anything else to say before we jet off tonight, Connor?
No, not really. I'm excited for next week.
Excited for next week? What's next week?
Well, next week's when we go, England are out. don't need to talk about that anymore.
Sad faces.
Not even sad, just kind of like, well, I was right.
Yeah, it'll never as much as World Cup 98. That was pretty gut wrenching. And Euro 2000 and Euro 2004. 2000, and that was we got
World Cup
far.
2002 wasn't that great either because
no
like,
2000 because that was when Seaman got chipped by the Brazilians.
Yeah, like twice essentially.
Yeah,
Michael Owen scores first, and then we just went conceded twice. And it's David Seaman. He was an icon. He was a legend. And he kind of just like let himself go. Yeah,
that was it. Well, he was past it. It was nearly 40, I think, in that game.
No, it wasn't.
He was old. He was old enough that the
he
ball got chipped.
He stayed with Arsenal for like another year or two, and then went off to like Everton or something. Like
yeah. But anyway, yeah. So and then 2008, we weren't even in it, were we? That was
no, because we lost out to Israel and Croatia. Yeah.
Those powerhouses. All right. Well, that's enough football talk for tonight. We'll probably keep talking about it, but we'll let you go. So we're going to leave you tonight with one last track from Molly Grubb, and this is Europe. But we will be back next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to join us, then we'll have some more sketch comedy and of course lots of chat and music. So see you next week.